Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop on the Oscars. We'll talk to Clyde Lewis from the Ground Zero Lounge, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Today's show really is jam-packed. Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Portland Marketing about the child raising. By the way, and I just had to point out...
Ooh, what's that?
I'm going to read this. It's a shirtless picture of Josh Holloway. But that's not really why I have it open at this page. This is the new Inquirer. I'm only pointing to see... I don't even really care about this story. It's just an avenue to discuss what is going to be the worst film ever made. This is... let's see. This is about Ray Liotta and Tim Allen. It says, Goodfellas... Pow! It says, Goodfellas star... Boy, how sad do you feel for Ray Liotta? Made Goodfellas goddamn 16 years ago, and that's always... It's like... It's that way. It's that way that so many people must think when it's like they have that one book or that one movie that they write, or the one thing they do, and like 20 years later, that's the thing that they still put next to their name whenever they identify them for public consumption. Do you know what I mean? Author of Fight Club, and it's like no, I've written 80 books. Yeah, author of Fight Club. You know, and you're just which sucks, but that's what marketing people do. No offense, Susan, but that's how they do it. So you've got Ray Liotta, who's made like 100 movies since this. But he's still Goodfellas star Ray Liotta. Went hog wild on Tim Allen, punching out the home improvement wise guy in the set of Wild Hogs. Now, I don't really care about anything in this. Apparently, there was either some sort of a scuffle or whatever. I'm just going to say that Wild Hogs, there's signs that the movie, this is probably the wrong time of the show to start talking about this, because it's one of those things that then you can just get into an endless discussion about, and it just goes on and on forever. But there's certain ways that when you're just watching the trailer or the preview, and when did we stop calling them previews and start calling them trailers? That's a little linguistic shift that happened sometime over the last like 12 years or so. But I was there at it was the horror, Music and Lyrics, and then they showed the trailer for Wild Hogs. And as soon as you hear Bad to the Bone on
that's the
for
one.
For the love of Christ.
Are you talking about Ghost Rider?
No, I'm talking about Wild Hogs.
Oh, no. They play Bad to the Bone on Ghost Rider, too.
Ghost Rider, really?
Oh, with this, like, flaming Nicolas Cage ugly head.
And by flaming, you mean on fire.
Yeah, sure.
As soon as you hear Bad to the Bone... I mean, look, I love George Thorogood. I really do. I used to have a mullet, and so it all goes together. I love George Thorogood. God love him. As soon as you hear Bad to the Bone, this is the last comment I'm going to make, and then we'll go to the news hour.
Never talk about it again.
Well, I'm not going to talk about Bad to the Bone, but I will have to come back and talk about this movie. We're late getting the news anyway, so I'm just going to make this one comment. Then we'll do the news, and then later I'll talk about this actual film and how you can spot that it's terrible. But the Bad to the Bone... the only good thing that Bad to the Bone has ever been associated with, the only thing it's ever been associated with that's good is like itself, is its own record. That's it. And Terminator 2.
And was that even that good?
Well, it's okay. I mean, I guess that's one of those songs that it's hard to hear anymore. It's hard to hear objectively. I can't tell whether it's good or not. Maybe it was never good. I don't know. I mean, and it's in Terminator 2. That's it. But Bad to the Bone is now the sign that you're watching a bad film. I mean, or the fact that that's the sign that you're watching a trailer for a movie that you can avoid.
No,
that's the skip here.
It is the saddest thing, because you can tell it's somebody trying to be hip, not really succeeding, because they're like, look, this song was cool once upon a time.
Seriously. And then it's also become, Bad to the Bone has also become, final thought, I swear to God, Bad to the Bone has become one of those songs that in trailers is only used ironically, by which I mean... You know, they play it as Stuart.
With farm animals.
Stuart Little is driving his car across the kitchen floor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've waited long enough.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
Holy God.
This is Tim Riley.
Along Trek Nest Rex, closing lanes of Highway 213 near Oregon City.
Truck.
This happened between Beaver Creek Road and Redland Road, Oregon City. This is when the log truck was preparing to pass a dump truck. That's when the van passed to change several lanes, clipping the log truck, sending both vehicles out of control. Nobody was hurt.
Okay, no fatalities?
No.
Okay.
So you can laugh.
Oh, Jesus God. A log truck and a dump truck walk into a bar. Okay, so let's replay the accident for us again line by line, please.
All right. It all happened when a log truck was preparing to pass a dump truck. Jesus God. That's when a van passed and changed several lanes and clipped the log truck, sending both vehicles out of control.
So the logging truck was passing the dump truck, but it must have been a two-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a van coming the other way.
Change okay. lanes.
By the way,
the log truck.
I'd like,
scary.
And I'd like to note for the people who called last week about this, this sounds like it was the logging truck's fault. That's my read on the story, anyway. That might be wrong, but my read on the story is
actually,
that
it sounds like the van all of a sudden. Internet Explorer cannot display this page.
The logging truck union doesn't want you to watch it.
Okay, well, so much for that.
Well, but if the logging truck was in the passing lane.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere for the van to go.
Right.
So it seems like, by definition, it's the logging truck's fault. That's
seems
simply my opinion, that my read on the story.
You need to give yourself enough space if there's an oncoming car.
Seriously. Unless you're just some guy passing on a hill because you're in a walking truck and you can't be killed. So, all right, well, there you go. Another reason to fear. We were just talking about that last week. Another reason to fear logging trucks. All right, there you go. Fear them.
A terrible individual stole more than $500 from Girl Scouts selling cookies outside of Fred Meyer. A tall, scraggly man reportedly sang a funny song about cookies as he walked past Troop 2338. Then he walked into the store. Oh, this is the Hawthorne Boulevard, Fred Meyer.
Oh, I saw them
on
out
Fred
there.
Meyer, on Hawthorne 39th?
Yep. Well, those kids... cookie money was
what,
stolen.
What entrance are they at?
They're in the north entrance.
I don't know what
the
that
one, means. The one next to the parking lot.
Oh, the one facing the
yeah,
one with
I
the big parking
run by
lot.
Because I don't want their cookies. And
where
I
those
really
where
bad.
Those weird vending things are for recycling.
You
okay.
run by the Girl Scouts.
I keep my sunglasses on and run by.
Oh, that's what I do too. No, I don't look and I make eye contact. I don't do. Do you want to eat me? No. Just walk into the car. Don't look at me. Don't look. That's it. I mean, I'll eat them if other people have them. But I've never purchased Girl Scout cookies. Actually, I'm thinking about that
I
right now.
The Girl Scout. I had to sell them.
Yeah, so was my wife. My wife, and so my wife is a soft touch. They come to the door, and she's like, oh, okay, how can I not? She's like, it's a whole support your sisters kind of a cabal that they get there. But it's like a skull and bones thing. Once you're a Girl Scout, like, you have to buy them when they come to the door. I'm thinking about it right now. You know, I've never actually bought Girl Scout cookies, and yet I've eaten hundreds of pounds of them in my life.
Well, I'm sure there's some salespeople upstairs that would love to have their children sell Rick Emerson some cookies.
Boy, and there's nothing more.
Come on down.
There's nothing more delightful than that, isn't there?
No, we don't want salespeople down here.
Oh, that's right.
People at your office whose children are selling things. That's always a bundle of fun, isn't it?
And it's always so awkward. They send out the group emails.
No pressure, but my fat kid's going to be running in a circle over and over and over again. Will you pledge 25 cents a lap for,
you know, and it's like, and then you just feel like an ass if you don't do it. You know, and it's just, it's like everybody has to do it or everybody has to refuse. Like, the office has to have some sort of united front against this.
Mm-hmm.
So I never did it, you know, and God bless my parents. My parents made many mistakes while raising us, as any number of you will attest.
It turned out just fine.
Real healthy bundle of joy you are.
Shut up. As even the casual listener will attest, that my parents perhaps chose poorly sometimes. But, you know, one of my parents' ironclad rules was that if I was doing anything like that, if I was selling whatever for school, that I couldn't, that they would not take my crap to work. And I could not come to their office and bother people that they worked with.
That was the rule with my parents too. We had to go door to door. My parents wouldn't buy it.
That was,
or sell it for me.
Yeah, that was my mom's thing. My mom was like, you know, you want to sell stuff, go sell stuff, because it's a cheap tactic. And you all know this is true. It's a cheap tactic for the kid. It's bad enough when you have the kid coming to the office going, you know, and then you, like, have to, you know, and then you don't want to look like an ass, and so you got to dig out your wallet and buy some chocolate for, like, $80, which is really never the world's finest chocolate, by the way. But what's even worse, though, is when the parent, and if I sound embittered about this, I am, when the stupid parent does the selling. How, in the name of sweet Christ, is your child supposed to learn salesmanship? Scotty would be with me on this. If the parent is bringing your crap to work, selling your dreck for you. You know what I mean? Just get out there, dude. You know, go close yourself. Burn some shoe leather, you little bastards. Send it to work with your parents. Seriously. The whole thing just makes me furious. And you know why it makes me furious?
Why?
No one cares.
No one cares.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Anyway, minutes later, the man reached down with both hands and grabbed an envelope full of cash that one scout mother had tucked between her leg and her purse.
I don't understand.
What?
The mother had tucked this envelope of cash between her leg and her purse.
So read, on the ground.
I suppose.
I guess.
She hasn't sitting.
Unless she's... Okay.
She might be straddling it.
Where? I was just going to say that all depends on where the purse was, I suppose.
Well, the troop leader and the other bystanders pursued the man, but lost him. The, let's see here. Oh, the good news is that...
How could you lose him? He's laden down with cookies and cash.
He's still a cookie, too?
No, he's still cookies.
Oh, okay.
He's still cash.
Right.
He's going to go buy his own cookies. So they didn't catch him.
Think of all the cookies he can buy with that.
But the good news is the scout leader is personally liable for the cookies and the sales proceeds.
Oh, really? That sucks.
But Fred Meyer is going to kick in the cash, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, good for them.
They're community-minded.
Okay. Do you say that's the suck? Everybody steals and then you've got to pay out of your own pocket?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Especially since Girl Scout leaders, don't they volunteer?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about Girl Scouts. I don't know.
What do Girl Scouts do?
I
don't know. We had slumber parties and...
You don't go to, like, Chippendale parties. You're too young for that.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah.
I don't even really remember.
What? Hold on. Who did you say Chippendale parties?
I did.
Okay, pleased to be... What?
Well, I was wondering if that might be an activity of the Girl Scouts, but apparently they're too young for that.
Sarah?
I was in fourth grade.
Oh, okay, so that is too young.
Yeah.
Okay, did you get your sexual frustration badge? Anywho... Let's be sure to revise this conversation, reprise it when Susan Reynolds is in here with us.
The Girl Scouts go camping? Do they tie knots? Do they climb up ropes?
Window camping?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would that be an activity that most girls would enjoy doing?
Actually, I don't even really remember what we did. Nothing's really sticking right now.
I'm unclear on the whole...
So you wear uniforms that look like the Federal Express delivery person.
And we'd
no,
sing
they
songs.
Look like Peter Pan.
Because there's brownies and then Girl Scouts.
Well, but see, what is a bluebird?
That's not related.
I think it's a different thing.
Is a bluebird the Hydrox cookie of the Girl Scout world?
It probably is, yes.
All
if there are any left.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't think they exist anymore.
I don't really know what any of these things are, and I don't need to know. That's the great thing about it. I don't need to worry about it.
A 17-year-old boy was shot in the leg after an iPod was stolen at a Sweet 16 party over the weekend. Police say a female had her iPod stolen and ordered everyone in the house to be searched. This happened in Portland. The victim apparently refused to be searched and left the house on Southeast Brooklyn Street. Officers said he was then followed by a group of guys. One of them confronted the victim and shot him twice in the leg and the hand.
Well, wait, hold on. They who got shot?
The alleged iPod thief.
Well, you steal something, you get shot. That's what happens.
He has non-life-threatening injuries.
Yeah.
No word on the condition of the iPod.
Well,
did he actually steal it?
It doesn't say. Well, they're not judging Cherry. I don't know if he was charged with stealing the iPod or she wanted to press charges. Perhaps she figured that was enough.
He's learned his lesson. Well, he probably has. All right. Are we getting... Okay. Well, Nick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I heard you guys talking about the Girl Scout cookies, and my wife's a third grade school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And you would not believe the amount of crap I have to pay for. Cookies. I'm in the Girl Scout troop, whatever. Do you want to buy Girl Scout cookies? And we get it from all angles. Like, you know, she has like 13 girls in her class, and, you know, then you got the Boy Scouts, and so we're constantly buying.
Oh, it just sucks. And, you know, and here's the thing that I don't know. Is this a public school or a private school?
Oh, it's public.
See, and that's, I mean, I remember, the thing is, I went to a private school. I went to a Catholic school. And so my parents were already paying, like, tuition and, you know, all this. And then yet still, like, the school would make us go out and, like, sell crap. And now that I think about it, it doesn't make any more sense for public school. Like, I remember when I was going to public school, the band was always having to go out and, like, peddle their wares so they could buy, like, you know, new reeds for their trombones or whatever the hell. And it's like, what am I paying taxes for? That then the kids have to come to my house and try to sell me, like, you know, try to sell me lumps of gelatinous peanut goo. You know what I mean?
And Christmas time is the wrapping paper.
Oh, God, and greeting cards.
Yeah, and it's also bad enough because my wife has to spend her own money to do projects in the classroom.
Really?
Oh, yeah, but you get it on your taxes. I mean, if you have a good accountant or me, then you can write off on your taxes. But it's just, I get it from all angles. And then I go to Fred Meyer's, and these little tiny kids are gnawing at my ankles trying to get me to buy some peanut butter wafer bars.
Being a teacher sucks. All right.
It does. Right. And the whole iPod story, back in the day, they used to cut your hand off if you stole. I think that's a lot worse than being shot, so.
So he should shut up. So he should buck up.
Yeah.
All right.
Stop being such a Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Nick. There you go. Fantastic. I like the cut of his jib. All right. Well, in any event. All right. Curious. Never mind. I'm going to stop with the Girl Scout thing now. Anywho. I don't know. Because here's the thing. If I keep talking about the Girl Scout cookie thing, I'm inevitably going to fall back into that conversation I have every single year on this show. And I never remember the answer to it. We have, it's like Weird Al's birthday countdown. We have this conversation every goddamned year, and I never remember the answer. Do you know the conversation I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
No.
This is going to be a little test. A little test to the audience. See if anybody knows what I'm referring to. Every year when Girl Scout cookie season, because it's once a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every year when Girl Scout cookie season comes around, I have this question about Girl Scout cookies. And every year, it takes like an hour to determine the answer. And I swear to God, I'm going to like tattoo it on my hand. So the next year, I don't ask again. And then the next year, I've always forgotten. So we'll see if anybody knows what I'm talking about. That'll be a little test of the P1s out there. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's get back to answering your earlier question. Why was Nana Nicole Smith on the dead reel last night? And the answer is, according to reps from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, the final version of the deceased reel is cut and approved by February 1st, and there's only room for about 25 people. And last year, more than 130 bought tickets to see the big movie theater in the sky. So what happens if Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg kicked the bucket last week? Yes, they too might have been left off the dead reel.
That's not true. It's just, they knew that they would put that up and people would snicker. That's the thing. Because, what's her name? Who was saying that there were no Anna Nicole, or at least Lisa God is saying there was no Anna Nicole jokes last night. Mm-hmm. And that just seems like a rich vein. Well, I bet there were Britney Spears jokes aplenty, though. But that's the other thing, too. Have you seen all that Britney Spears coverage now? That now it's all, and Don and Mike were talking about this again this week, and they were noting this, that a lot of that Britney Spears coverage is the, will she be the next?
Man.
It's all kind of taken on, that sort of hue to it. All right, here's Tim Riley.
So, meanwhile, backstage at the Oscars last night, Martin
Downey Jr.?
I mean, Scorsese talks about making films and how important they are to awards.
You know, it was an overwhelming moment for me. I must say that I didn't know when people say it's your year,
no,
you know,
please.
Thank God we've been able to make so many films over the past 36 years without winning awards, but we've been able to get
bitterness.
The pictures made.
All right. You know, he said, though, he may claim he didn't know he was going to win, but he actually said that when Lucas and Spielberg and Coppola walked out, which, as I noted earlier, that tells you all you need to know right there. As soon as I heard that those three were given the Best Director Award, you knew it was going to go to Scorsese. He said in an interview after the fact that when they walked out on stage, and this is the suspicious thing, because apparently only the two dudes from Price Waterhouse that have the ballots in that suitcase, they're apparently the only two people on planet Earth who know the results. That's what Price Waterhouse claims every year, that only those two men know the results. Scorsese said, though, that when Lucas and Spielberg and Coppola walked out on stage, that they looked right at him and smiled. He said the three of them walked out and, like, gave him a joint look and a joint smile. So, I mean, clearly, it, everybody knew the deal.
So this was a moment that most people tuned in for last night. Al Gore getting ready to make a big announcement at the Oscars.
Even though I honestly had not planned on doing this, I guess with a billion people watching, it's as good a time as any. So, my fellow Americans, I'm going to take this opportunity right here and now to formally announce
Okay, that's funny.
That is funny.
That is amusing is what that is.
He was asked again backstage later.
I do not have plans to become a candidate for office again. I am involved in a different kind of campaign that I will continue to try to persuade people all over the world, and especially here in my own country, to successfully solve the climate crisis.
All right. I knew this would happen. See, now here come the Al Gore comments flashing across my screen from Scotty. All right. All right, friend. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Condoleezza Rice, who's always traveling, never comes home, is opposing the Democratic moves in Congress to change how the war is being conducted. She tells ABC's This Week that policies would disrupt the normal cooperation between the executive branch and the military. That would cause a problem.
Well, I would hope that Congress would recognize that it's very important for them to have the oversight role. They're elected, and elected as a separate branch of government. But when it comes to the execution of policy in the field, that has to be a clean relationship between the commander-in-chief and the commanders in the field.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
Neither does anybody else.
See, it's just not. We've had the discussion before about her job, which is a mystery, I think, to all of us.
She's a frequent flyer.
I guess she really is. Is she just sort of the Miss America? She just sort of goes around and stands where they cut ribbons with oversized scissors and things.
Yes.
You know, except it's not in Akron. It's in, like, you know, Turkmenistan or something.
Meanwhile, the president says it's important to continue to push for alternative fuels.
We're going to continue to invest, and by the way, in clean coal technologies,
yeah.
Solar technologies, yeah. And wind technologies. But there, where we're pretty close to some amazing breakthroughs, is on changing our usage of gasoline.
Meanwhile, a group of active duty service members is petitioning Congress to end the Iraq War. The soldiers and Marines sent a petition called Appeal for Redress to individual members of Congress. In it, they say that staying in Iraq will not work and it's time for U.S. troops to come home. Last night on 60 Minutes, several of those soldiers reiterated that while they oppose the war, their patriotism should not be questioned.
As a patriotic citizen who served two combat tours in Iraq, I just feel that this war is simply just not working out anymore, and soldiers are dying there every day.
It's crazy talk.
Yes, Petty Officer Jonathan Hutto, who serves aboard the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt, says his opposition to the war makes him no less patriotic.
I'm not anti-war. I'm not a pacifist. I'm not opposed to protecting our country and defending our principles. But at the same time, as citizens, it's our obligation to have a questioning attitude, you know, about policy.
Army Captain Lawrence Nunn disagreed with the views. He said he didn't volunteer to get himself killed.
Just because we volunteered for the military doesn't mean we volunteered to put our lives in unnecessary harm and to carry out missions that are illogical and immoral.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah, I love a guy whose first comment is, I'm not anti-war. All right, here's Jim. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick.
Jim.
Hey. Hi. Sarah, everybody. Oscars.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson.
I saw some pictures of him.
Oh, wait.
He's not looking
here's the new
good.
Britney Spears.
He showed up with a shaved head, right?
I don't... Now, listen to me. This is my theory, and this is the theory that I have.
Okay. So it's not only your theory, it's the theory you have.
But this is correct.
Okay.
He is either doing that for a movie...
Going on a limb, okay.
Or I think that... my opinion is he may be ill. He may be undergoing chemotherapy. And the reason why I say this is not only the top of his head is bald, but he's got no eyebrows.
Really? Is that true?
Well, he had the sunglasses on. Sarah, you with me?
I didn't see a lot of pictures of him. I just saw him looking really puffy and very bald.
He always looks puffy, though. That's the thing. Jack Nicholson is Look, I'm not a woman, so I don't know. Maybe it was different back in the day, but Jack Nicholson is not an attractive man. I don't find Jack Nicholson to be attractive at all. He's got personality, and I think most of that, though, comes from the fact that he's famous. I think he's got charisma because he's famous. To me, I look at him, and he seems like a very... he's got big jowls, for one thing. He's got the biggest... He's got a full serving of jowls there. But you're saying he was not... So he was doing, like, the Spencer for Hire thing. He not only had the no hair on top, he had the no hair, the no eyebrows.
Right, and that weight gain might be a contributing factor also. Now, I hope that God Jesus I'm wrong, but...
I don't know. It seems like if it was not for a movie, everybody would be talking about it, though. That's one of those things where they would be like, that would be the lead item on CNN. What's wrong with Jack Nicholson, you know?
Well, I read a rumor.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's tapped to play, the Twilight Zone guy.
Rod Serling?
No. Oh, no, I'm thinking of something else. He's had to play some character who's a bigger guy and who's bald. That's what, like, one of the spins was.
All right. Yeah, it seems like it's probably for a movie or else they'd make a big deal out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, boys.
There you go. That's Jim. All right, there you go. Thank you. That's Jim. Fantastic. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I was just thinking that there ought to be some sort of a... never mind. It's 503-733-2970. 970.
Alfred Hitchcock. I was completely off.
Really?
Yeah. I saw that on one website today.
I don't know that I can see that.
Yeah,
Jack Nicholson bugs me. It's time for Jack Nicholson to quit acting.
You just don't like him at all, even in The Departed.
I don't. I think it's time for him to quit making movies. The time for him to quit making movies was right after... he hadn't done anything really good since Batman. I don't think he's done anything since Batman that wasn't just fundamentally playing his one note. And the thing is, he's got more than one note. Like, he has, like, a wide range as an actor. But ever since... Because that's all The Departed was to me. The Departed was just him as playing Joker without makeup on. And before Batman, he had a wide range of styles. But this is not anymore. That time has passed. Are we breaking here?
We could.
All right. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I was trying to come up with some sort of chemotherapy, chemosabi joke. And it wasn't really coming together. It was like in my head, it's like, there ought to be blah, 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 cancer, chemosabi. I don't think there's so much cancer stand-up out there.
Even the finest field is wide open.
Right, even the finest comedians have not done that yet.
Cancer night at the Laugh Factory. Because they can't say the N-word anymore.
Okay, there you go. Back after this. Yeah, that really is like a belt and suspenders kind of a thing.
And that's how I started.
With a deep cleaning?
Yeah. Because I can get over it and then go on with my life.
The worst part about having your teeth cleaned is how it vibrates your entire skeleton. And you're sort of, vibrating your entire body in an unpleasant fashion.
Have you got that rubber glove taste in your mouth all day?
I know that taste well. It's 503.
You have rubber glove breath.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
But I left with a little bag with a smile on it, full of things that are good for you.
Like free dental floss and a toothbrush?
I'll go get it for you.
He's talking about something else. No. Okay, it's 503-733-2970. Rubber glove breath, and I left with a little baggie of things that made me smile. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge at Dante's every Monday night at 8. Let's welcome now Clyde Lewis to the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, brother?
Oh, just nothing. Just eating a salad right now. I'm sitting at a sweet tomato somewhere in Hillsboro, Beaverton area.
Having your daily serving of wheat germ and hopping on the treadmill?
trying. Yeah. Okay. I got to, you know, I got to watch my girlish figure, that kind of thing.
Anyway.
Okay. Did you watch the Gotta Be War?
No, I did not. We were just talking about how no one here watched them.
I really didn't watch them either. I went and saw the number 23 last night, and I tell people to wait for it on video. Because it's not really that good of a film.
No, okay. Aaron said it was crap.
Yeah, it's crap. But yeah, and I want to talk to Aaron too, because I was on Film Fever and we talked a little bit about the number 23 and its cosmic and conspiratorial significance.
Yes.
And hell, what we talked about was far more interesting than the movie. So
yeah, I don't really have any desire to see Jim Carrey in anything.
Yeah, it's not that good. It's not a good film.
At any point.
I'll tell you what, Virginia Madsen though looks hot.
Yeah, but you know, she looks hot on the internet at home, and that's free. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't
have
to wade through lots of Jim Carrey to get to it. So.
That's so true.
So what's up? Well, first of all, are you still at the, is it ClydeLewis.com still? Is that your website still?
Actually, no. We're changing it to groundzeromedia.org.
Okay.
Because video and streaming and everything that we're doing right now, we're like a multimedia group, writing, all kinds of stuff. So we decided to change it to groundzeromedia.org. ClydeLewis.com is still available, but it redirects you, and eventually it'll redirect everybody. And my, I believe my email now is ClydeLewis@groundzeromedia.org too.
Okay, cool.
So if you ever want to email me or whatever, we're kind of becoming bigger now, and so in order to become bigger, we have to change our name. So that's what's going on with that. And, you know, because we got books now that are out about us. We got all kinds of stuff that are in the works right now. What's that?
What?
What?
That?
What?
Sarah tried to whisper, but then it came over the phone. How weird was that?
Over the phone?
The microphone was off.
Oh, that's odd.
Hey, why was it was your birthday?
Hey, did we miss your birthday?
Yes, you did miss my birthday. My birthday was the 22nd.
No one told
me. Fine.
That's all right. I mean, you know, I spent it alone, basically picking my nose.
Drunk.
Did you go out or anything?
Oh, yeah, I went out. I went out, you know, I went to a couple bars. You know, I've been doing a lot of bar things lately. I've been making appearances at a lot of bars in Portland just to see what they're like. And some of them I really can't stand. I don't want to talk about them on the air because if I do, then I'm sure I'll get in trouble for it. But there are a lot of bars I've been to lately that I just don't like.
Well, now we feel like we're like terrible people that we missed your birthday.
Well, I mean, you know, your birthday's coming up. I remember your birthday.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Forget it.
But that's the thing is, I really just don't. But that's the thing is, you do me a favor by not remembering my birthday.
I do remember your birthday.
It's not important.
When's his birthday?
It's in March.
He doesn't know.
It's on the refrigerator in the break room.
It's in March.
True.
Yeah. So you're doing you're doing Ground Zero Lounge tonight?
Yes, I am doing that tonight, and a lot of great topics to talk about. So, like, I think we're going to go back and look into some really interesting claims that are out. I mean, about, I guess, back in October or so, I believe Bruce Burgess, I think I talked about this on the air, claimed that he went to France and he uncovered what is believed to be the graves of Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. But now Jim Cameron is coming out saying that he has found the tomb of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, which is basically undermining the Catholic Church, which is really scary when you think about it because, you know, I've talked about this stuff for the longest time, that'll be the next step is to discredit the churches in order to bring about a new type of ecumenical religion that is supposed to be all government-controlled and strange. And people think I'm crazy when I talk about this stuff, but now a lot of things are happening. You know, a lot of things are happening to demonstrate it, which is scary.
Okay. No one thinks you're crazy, Clyde.
Well, sure they do.
Yes, they do. Everyone thinks you're crazy.
No, I
was trying to gild the lily there for a second, but there's no use denying it. We all think you're mad.
Everyone in Sweet Tomatoes is listening.
Well, I would, but see, it's weird because, you know, a lot of the stuff I talk about, I wonder, you know, where the hell it's coming from, because, you know, I read these things and I know that these things are coming up, and I tell people they're going to reveal that they found the body of Christ and they found the body of Mary Magdalene. Everyone's going, all right, yeah. But now James Cameron says that he's done it, and there's other people that say that they have it. So what's the purpose behind this? Why are they all of a sudden racing to tell us that they found the body of Jesus? And that's the thing that's really weird. In fact, they're showing Jesus Camp tonight at Dante's before I come on, so it's going to be fun to go.
Excellent.
If you haven't seen Jesus Camp, that's a very, very controversial film.
Well, it's that movie that's got Ted Haggard in it.
Yeah, it's got Ted Haggard before he confessed that he was a homosexual.
Before he went crazy,
And then he got cured, so now he's fine.
In like a day,
All right. You know, there are a lot of things going on. Like, for example, the Lombard Film Festival is coming up in March, and they're going to be showing a day called X, which is the documentary about Ground Zero, which I'm very excited about.
Which I'm apparently in, even though I don't remember being filmed for it.
You are in it. I don't know why you're in it, but you are.
What year?
What's he doing?
During what year was the interview done?
2003.
Really? So I did some interview 4 years ago?
Yeah, 4 years ago. You were in the film 4 years ago. I don't know what it's all about.
What am I saying in it?
I have no idea. I haven't seen the film yet.
Oh, don't lie. Why do you? You've seen it like you've watched it like 100 times. Who are you?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it.
Like embarrassing.
I haven't seen it at all. I haven't seen it. So, and there are a lot of people that say they want to go see it. So I'll get the date soon. Aaron, I'm sure, is going to be talking about it. We're all going to be talking about it. And of course, the book Alien Invasion is now out. You can go to Lulu.com or you can go to RealityDeviants.com. And pick up your copy online. You need to get a downloadable version, or you can buy the book. It's $19.95, 200 pages. It's awesome.
Excellent. And what time is it all getting underway tonight?
8 o'clock. I may not talk about this thing. I may talk about this. I may even talk about the number 23. I don't know. There's so many things I could touch on. So many things I could talk about. So many weird stories in the news right now. It's unbelievable. I mean, I just did a thing last week on hyper-reality and how it's almost like we've blurred the lines between fantasy and reality, and people are beginning to believe the fantasy over the reality because they're just so caught up in, you know, it's not news. You know, you're watching the news, and it's not news who Dancing with the Stars is going to have on. I mean, that's crap. And then they talk about that, and they're talking about Academy Awards, and it's like, you know, this isn't reality. This is not, you know, this is not something you talk about in the news.
How about the girl who can stack and unstack 12 cups in 5.3 seconds?
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not possible.
Yeah, I mean,
Bobby Brown arrested at a cheerleading competition.
What's that?
Nothing. Bobby Brown is arrested at a cheerleading competition.
Oh my God. See, and Britney Spears going out of control.
It's the reckoning.
Shaving her head. I mean, this is the apocalypse, baby. It's all in the apocalypse.
It's the apocalypse tonight at Dante's Kids, 8 p.m. Clyde Lewis, and the website is groundzeromedia.org.
Remember, they're all reptilians, every goddamn one of them.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy your salad.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
There you go. Clyde
this
Lewis.
Is the apocalypse Ladies tonight.
Okay, how did that go over the air? That was weird.
I don't know. You turned off your microphone and said, it's Clyde's birthday. And everybody heard you go, it's Clyde's birthday.
That's really creepy.
I don't know exactly how that happened. All right.
So my microphone's never off.
No. Be sure to swear a lot. Be sure to slander freely. Here's Jim Riley.
Well, getting back to what we're talking about, whatever that was.
I have no idea.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger is speaking in public, and he has emphasized there should be a timetable for pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq.
I think a timeline is absolutely important because I think that the people in America don't want to see another Korean War, another Vietnam War, anything like this, where it's an open-ended thing. There should be a timeline.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and the thing about those statements, you think about those statements, if they seem really reasonable when he says them, oh, that's true. When really, of course it's a true statement. Like, who really sits around and goes, you know, we need another Vietnam. That's what this country could really use. Of course. I mean, that's how you can tell he's a shrewd master politician already. Because he says statements that sound sensible. When you think about it, there's really no other way to say that. Because that's like saying the American people do not want to see the brains of babies sucked out through the soft spots in their skulls. Yeah. I mean, no one wants that. Well, really, thanks for pointing it out.
Can it be that Mr. Schwarzenegger is becoming a liberal?
The ultimate goal should always be what is best for the state or what is best for the country rather than what is best for my party.
Okay, that's no way to get the Scotty J's of the world. Here's Tim Riley.
Denver Zoo officials say a jaguar was attacked and killed after he attacked a zookeeper. He had to be shot to death, apparently. They tried to use a fire extinguisher to get the jaguar away from what was left of the zookeeper. And the public was never in danger because the attack happened in the service area of the feline exhibit.
I don't mean to laugh. It just seems like anybody whose job is going into jaguars. Did you read that story? I think it was in China, where there was like a panther or a bear or something. Mm-hmm. And it was some Chinese guy who made his living going in and like extracting bile out of the gallbladder or whatever. And it's like some incredibly painful procedure that they do where he goes in and he sucks out like gall bile or whatever the hell out of the creature and then like sells it on the black market. And the bear, he just like tried it one too many times and the bear was having kind of a bad morning anyway and just took his head off. And that sort of thing, that sort of scratches a deep itch within your soul when that happens. Rick, my 8-year-old son is in Campfire. Really? I thought Campfire was a girl's thing.
That's what I thought.
My 8-year-old son, so-called, is in Campfire. Oh, no jokes, please. Well, too late. He just finished selling candy to earn his way to camp. He sold 1,180 boxes. And that's just, it's insanity. Let's see, what else do we have? And the other thing about this, see, when I went to this private school, and you would think that if you're selling if you're selling, it's like you can either charge tuition or you can make the students, because the students were never given any choice about it either. That's the other thing. I remember being in school, and it's like they would just, once a year, it was just known that like the students would just have to go out and just schlep their wares door to door like so many prepubescent Fuller brush salesmen, hawking all of this substandard wax and candy for like $9 a box to a bunch of neighbors. And, you know, the neighbors, just because you think about how we are now that we're adults, you know, the neighbors just hated my ass as they saw me coming down the street. They're just closing the door and quick, Ethel, underneath the couch, you know, because they just saw me coming down the street lugging this big, heavy cardboard box behind me. And then there was always that one fat bastard you were in class with who would just eat all of the candy that they gave him. And then his parents had to cough up like $80 for all the crap that he shoveled into his cavernous maw out there when he was walking down the street. And so you would have to sell all this stuff, even though you were having to pay tuition, which made no sense. And so they would have a motivational system where the kid who sold the most candy for the school would win some sort of gee-gaw. And every single, I won't mention his name because I still bear bitterness and grudges about it, but there was this one bastard that I went to school with every single year who won because he would just send the order form to his parents' work, and his parents worked out at the Hanford Nuclear Facility where there were like 7,000 people. And so his dad would just leave it there. And over the course of a week, you know, like 800 people would come by and buy something. And every single goddamn year that I was in school, this kid would win the candy selling competition. Oh, how I hate him. Still, to this day, which is a fiery black passion. I hope he dies. I hope he dies painfully.
Maybe he's already dead.
I hope so. I hope it took a long time, and it happened in Costa Rica, where there's bad medical care. Here's Tim Riley.
Howard K. Stern may need to find a new place to live. Ben Thompson, who claims to own the house in the Bahamas that Stern is living in, has filed papers to throw him out. Thompson's attorney, Godfrey Pinder, spoke about the case.
Godfrey
My
Pinder.
My client's intentions to evict Howard K. Stern from the house. He has no right being there. He's an interloper.
Mr. President, we are drifting toward oblivion in Vietnam.
Godfrey Pinder says Anna Nicole Smith never signed the mortgage note to take over the house.
The house was given to Anna Smith as a loan, more or less, because number one, she was having a baby at the time, and they were friends. But she wanted to purchase, but she had to sign certain documents, a promissory note, and a mortgage, which she refused to do.
What the hell kind of accent is that?
Bahamian.
What's his name? Godfrey Pinder?
Yeah.
It sounds like a made-up rich person's name. It sounds like a name that a rich person would only have in, like, a Robert Altman film. Let's see. As for Sarah's comments going over the air, I hear whispering in the background of the show all the time. I thought I was just insane. Thank you for clearing it up.
Well, crap.
Well, let's try it again. Here, turn off your microphone.
Okay, I'll turn off Tim's too.
Okay, but I think it only works with the phone. Hold on.
No, because you know what? I turned off your...
Okay, now turn off your mic.
Now fine. Can you hear me? Oh, freaky.
That is completely weird.
Yeah. Attention engineers, my microphone's off right now.
So even when your microphone is off...
Oh, crap. What have I been saying the past few months?
Oh, I imagine we'll find out. If it's anything inappropriate, I imagine that'll be brought to our attention. And your microphone is off right now.
My microphone is completely off. I'll pot it down. All right.
How about now?
It's potted down.
Whoa, and Tim's too.
Let me tell you a secret.
Say this. Say this to Tim, saying, do you want to play a game?
Yeah, Tim.
You want to play a game? Oh, that's creepy. Not so funny now, is it, funny man? So you both
that
of your...
That is really not a good feeling.
So both of your microphones are turned off and potted down.
I heard about a big party later tonight.
Jesus Christ. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I know it's recommended this bar.
Okay.
What if it happens with yours?
I don't know. Turn my microphone off.
Can't train yourself.
Why, hello. Who's doing the entire house always on the air?
Oh, my God. Do you realize every time it's a
crap? All the things we said. Let's do the entire show like this.
Yeah, that's a good winner.
All right. We've got to figure out a way to use this. We've got to figure out a way to use this effect for comic purposes, though. There's got to be a way to use this for some sort of humorous effect. All right. Well, let's make a note to ourselves, Sarah.
Yeah.
That when the phone is turned on, When a phone line is picked up, your microphone is always on.
Oh, my God.
How insane. How is that even possible?
I don't know.
Is this irritating to everybody when we talk like
this?
Maybe
they can't even hear us.
I don't know. Maybe we're off the air right now. It's on one of the mounting stations. Let's all turn our microphones back on.
Wow.
You were just listening to a secret radio station.
It still isn't on, and now, we can still hear.
Now it sounds like we're in high def. All right. It's 50373. Scotty, I can hear it all. It sounds bad.
Yeah, I know.
In high definition.
Wait, no, hold on. You should turn, kill your mics for a second. That's the, that's like the likest, the high definition.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
You're, okay, you're, it's, oh, I'm sorry. Can you turn my mic all the way up? Pop my mic up.
All right, it's up.
Fantastic. All right.
This is the worst bit ever.
The clarity and fidelity of the microphone stand. Here's Tim Riley.
I forgot where I was.
You're in a studio where the microphones are always on, Tim. Hmm. That's where you are right
Maybe
now.
Maybe we should do a Britney watch.
Let's do a... fantastic. Let's do a Britney watch. Here's your Britney watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio program. Think I did it again.
Well, Britney's two ex-husbands, Kevin Federline, and her spouse from 56 Hours, Jason Alexander, have entered the fray. But while K-Fed has offered support, Alexander's claim could send the singer into a further tailspin.
Really? What else could she do at this point? I mean, unless... I was just going to say, unless she goes out and flashes her... but she's already... I mean, she's bald. We've all seen her vagina.
She broke an umbrella.
She attacked an inanimate object with an umbrella while on film. I mean, what else? She's had people photographed in public picking her underwear out of her ass. I mean, what else could she pause? What else is there left for her to do? What could she do at this point that would further tarnish her image? I mean, that's it. Do you remember a few weeks ago, months ago, whatever it was, when we were talking about, like, is there not a Kevin Federline, Britney Spears porn tape? Like, how tame that seems now. How just run of the mill, how blasé and bland it now seems that there might be some home sex video. All right, here's Tim.
Well, according to the News of the World, the wannabe rapper wants to give their marriage another go. Allegedly told the singer, I'll stand by you if you clean up your act. I just want you to get well. News of K-Fed's unexpected support comes as more details of Britney's harrowing wreck. Oh, the stay in rehab emerged. Over the past week, a friend saying the singer threatened to commit suicide was strip searched in rehab and fears she was concealing classy.
You know, people who threaten to commit suicide irritate the hell out of me. Either kill yourself or don't kill yourself. That's there is no... no. Well, seriously.
Do or do not.
Do or do not. There is no try. There is no threaten. If you're trying... Seriously, if you've had enough, and you know what? Everybody reaches that point where the glass is full and you just realize that maybe tomorrow isn't going to be any better than today. Whatever. That's your decision. That's between
that's
you...
That's an awful thing to say.
I'm just saying it's not my business to tell anybody to hang around if they don't, you know, if they don't want to. I'm just making the point. I'm just saying don't threaten. One either does or one does not. You know, if you're Britney Spears... If you could... It's like Sam Kinison used to say about drug rehabilitation costing a then unheard of $15,000. If you have $15,000 laying around, you don't have a drug problem. But you can tell that Britney Spears doesn't have a serious chemical problem because she's got a spare $48,000 in cash just sitting around the house. That's how you know that she hasn't hit rock bottom. So, you know, and threatening to commit suicide if you're Britney Spears is just another way to get people. I mean, when they're tired of looking at your vagina, look at my troubled psyche, which is really nothing. Nobody was interested in looking at her psyche beforehand, so she's trying to dress it up a little bit. This is, you know what a suicide threat is for Britney Spears? It's lipstick for the personality. You know, draw attention to something that really isn't there. Try to accentuate and augment something that doesn't really exist or be noticeable in any way as such.
Meanwhile, getting to the best part, her first husband, Jason Alexander, tells the Sunday Mirror, quote, we used ecstasy at an active party and cocaine during the day to stay awake.
Stunned.
Then we would take doubters like Valium or Vicodin to come down and rest.
So this Britney was before she had kids.
Days. Mm-hmm. 3 days straight over New Year, I couldn't keep up. She definitely had a problem with drugs when we got together, and that was 3 years ago. She got herself into a cycle which is hard to break. Once again, that's Britney's first husband, Jason Alexander, who the authorities broke up. Meanwhile, is this part of it too?
I don't know. Did you get to the thing about the death list? There's that. One of those stories has the thing about how she's keeping a list of people she wants to kill.
Hmm. And what may be more of a blow to the hopefully recovering star, he also shed light on their experimental sex life, revealing he felt as if he'd won the sex lotto on one occasion when Britney cavorted with another girl in front of him and then invited him to join in.
Cavorted.
Won the sex lotto?
Cavorted. Yeah. Cavorted makes it sound like they're wearing clown hats. And there's sort of, you know, there's a lot of music playing in the background.
I had the clown.
It's like there's a trampoline. Oh, yeah, we got a clown wash coming up as well.
Yeah, I can't find that other Britney story.
Well, it's okay.
Aren't it all the hats?
Now, apparently she's keeping a deal. All I read is, and then we got a break here. Apparently, all I read is that she's keeping a list of people she thinks, the people she wants to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, although Kevin Federline's on it, so he can't feel very good about that. All right, well, there you go. There's your Britney watch. Well, let's come back. We come back. Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Marketing Portland is going to join us. Later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop about the Oscars. We have Peter Carlin from The Oregonian. We have Scotty J with The Suburban Perspective and so forth. You say it's a Rick Emerson show. There's your Britney watch. Don't go anywhere.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to ask.